Hello, gorgeous, gorgeous ladies. It's Narissa Sue, your host of the Lioness Method podcast. And today we are going to talk to Dr. Haley O'Neill, and she is going to give us the tea on how to master your weight loss goals. So we are just going to come back to her in just a moment. Thank you for joining us today. Welcome back. Again, this is Narissa Sue, and I'm with Dr. Haley O'Neill today. And I am so excited, ladies. I invited Dr. Haley on the show because I've been working with Dr. Haley. And because I'm a working mom and I've been really busy, I reached out to her for support. And she's just been so phenomenal that I wanted to share her with you guys and her work because it's been really helpful for me and my weight loss journey. And she's just such a wealth of knowledge. Dr. Haley has over 15 years of experience, or academic research experience, rather. She has her PhD in biomedical science and 5 years of postdoctorate studies specializing in metabolism and obesity. She's also has some psychology in there. So she has a very unique blend of expertise to lend all around weight loss. And it sounds like a very holistic approach. And she's also a mom of 2 kids. So she's a busy working mom herself. So I thought she would be the perfect person to talk to you today about your weight loss goals. And she's going to share with us some really awesome tips. So welcome, Dr. Haley. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Hello, gorgeous women. And thank you, Narissa, for the opportunity to share my knowledge and some of my journey that's led me to where I am today and what I'm doing with lots of beautiful women around the world.
No, I love this. And I love the program at Nourish Foxy Mama. It's been so wonderful to be a part of your community. And how did it come to be? I'm so curious, because this is a very special, I mean, it's very highly specialized what you do. So how did you get into doing this and serving women in this capacity?
Yeah, so I guess through my journey in academic research, I've had quite an extensive background from basic to applied clinical research, translational research, and even developing, you know, plant-based supplements to, you know, minimal ingredients and really nourishing and knowing where, you know, ingredients come from to give really potent effects, not just around metabolism, but supporting gut health and weight loss. So I guess with Nourish Foxy Mama, which is basically a 4-month transformational program, total body love lifestyle, where we're focusing on nourishing, you know, busy women or busy mums from the inside out. And it's just, you know, letting women know that they're not alone on their journey, their struggles, the overwhelm, the anxiety that comes with being a woman and, you know, busy career woman, working mom.
All the things.
Yes, absolutely. So I think, yeah, I have a 3- and 4-year-old, and I guess my experience through trying to manage it all, as well as hands-on experience managing large, complex clinical trials, both dietary and surgical weight loss, as well as really looking at the relationship between stress and weight. So cortisol has been sort of at the core of a lot of my research, and I guess seeing firsthand where the gaps are in the system, a lot of this yo-yo dieting or toxic eating patterns, you know, the disappointment when women don't lose as much weight as they, you know, want to lose, and when they start regaining it. And I guess a lot of diet industry bullshit, lots of decades of misinformation that, you know, it sets us up for failure, okay? That, like, weight loss is complex. Many things are involved in achieving long-lasting weight loss. You know, that you don't have to feel like a failure. You don't have to feel like you're struggling alone. You know, things don't have, like, weight loss is complex, but the solutions to set you up for success in terms of losing weight and keeping it off really comes back to making small, sustainable changes that are flexible and, you know, being realistic about it. So I guess, yeah, Nourish Foxy Mama is basically through mom also leaving an abusive relationship. So, you know, having the challenges there of unsupportive partner. So, you know, it encompasses lots of different things. And just, yeah, mainly through speaking with a lot of women, their struggles, the emotion that comes with feeling unsupported, unappreciated, alone, depleted, exhausted, and just really, yeah, and not knowing where to start or what to eat, becoming so confused about, you know, you've got on top, you're dissatisfied with your body, your confidence, you know, and often we restrict our calories too much, that we're not eating enough, we're skipping breakfasts, we have irregular eating patterns. So, you know,
covering so many things. I want to go back really quick because you're making so many fabulous points. So I'm like, let's elaborate a little bit. I was talking to another guest a couple of weeks ago, Tasha Ray, and she brought up a really good point about working moms and being able, what she called the snap back or the bounce back, right? And how it kind of sets up this unrealistic expectation that we can just snap right back the way we were after we have our babies. But one of the points that she made was like, if you're not supported in the house, you're the only person, your primary caregiver, and you don't have time to take care of yourself, you don't feel supported, you don't have time to go to the gym or even to eat a proper meal. Because I remember when my baby was brand new, like I was just shoving whatever in my face, right?
You do. Just to survive the energy, the caffeine, the sugary foods, just survival mode. And, you know, it's, and the sleep deprivation and rushing here, rushing there.
I feel like the first year, don't you feel like the first year is kind of a wash? Like we shouldn't even try.
Absolutely. And hormonally too, there's scientific evidence showing, you know, even our brains shrink up to at least 2 years post having a baby, to sort of focus on. So they've done MRI scans of brains, but even like hormonally, you know, breastfeeding and all these things that are happening where our bodies, you know, are recovering, it can make weight loss a bit, you know, difficult and stubborn to lose. But also the nourishment and taking that time out for ourselves, you know, is really important. And a lot of women, we don't do that. We feel guilty about doing that.
I have a question for you. So when, if the first year is kind of, we know it's the hazing period after you have your child, when do you think is the best time for a mom or a woman to start really setting viable weight loss goals after she's had her child?
Oh, okay. I think it really depends on the individual. Some women obviously bounce back a lot quicker than others. It depends as well, you know, whether you're breastfeeding, because obviously if you're breastfeeding, your energy requirements are a lot higher. I think you're burning like 600 to 800 calories a day in some cases. So I know like with women I've dealt with, they have stubborn areas like around their belly, like particularly women that have lost babies. You know, they seem to maybe not have struggled before with their weight, but they can't lose, you know, fat from their belly region. So I'm thinking like it's about getting into a lifestyle rhythm that suits you. Okay. Like my babies are like 1 year apart. It was particularly very, you know, it's not really until the last couple of years that I've stepped back into my power and prioritizing myself. And even if it means, you know, putting them in childcare an extra day so you can really start to nourish yourself and prioritize yourself again. So I think it's really on the individual and depends on how much weight you're wanting to lose. You know, it could be 5, 10 kilos, 20 kilos. You know, you really, that's where the strategy is really important. And I guess I want to talk about the three stages, I guess, of weight loss that is often a big threat. Yeah. So do you want me to talk about those? Yeah. So
yes, no, please. If you're listening along, you probably want to grab a notebook and a paper or a pen and paper so you can write these down.
So I think when we're talking about weight loss programs, there's three important considerations for it to be sort of successful program. So you want it, number one, to be able to lose weight. The second is you want to be able to maintain the weight after it's been lost. And the third, you want to prevent regain. Okay. So they're the three core things. But when we're undergoing a weight loss program, the things that we don't think about, obviously strategy is one of them, not having strategy. And so when I talk about strategy, I want to bring three key areas. And one is the priming before phase before the weight loss. You know, often we're quite depleted and under chronic stress. Anyway, we're depleted nutritionally. We're not getting adequate sleep, hydration, nutrition. So this is, I think, really important. And then we can talk about menstrual cycle and calorie restriction and dieting also. But I believe if you're already under a state of depletion and then you want to go and lose weight, which is, you know, you're restricting your energy intake, calories, it's another stress on your body. So if you're already not in a good state, I think this really contributes to, difficulties with losing weight initially and compliance. And obviously you might be going 1 week really well and then everything, all the shit falls to, you know, to the side because the cravings kick in. Cravings, appetite increases, all these things that are happening in the body that are driving you. You know, it's like a starvation reaction. You start restricting your calories, you know, your body's saying, oh, I'm under stress. It's going to work against you to slow that weight loss down and as a protective mechanism. So we've got the priming. We've got to really think about what your current nutritional status and health and, you know, start piecing everything together, sleep, mood, appetite, eating behavior, lifestyle, support, psychology. Mm-hmm. And then we've got obviously the program. So that's where you're going to look at losing the weight, making these changes to support your goals, okay, whether that be around fitness, but predominantly you can lose weight. Like Nourish Boxy Mum is about losing weight without constant exercise, okay, really having fundamentals of nutrition and metabolism to really support you, okay. So, and then what happens once we lose the weight? So, okay, we've lost the weight, and this is where women, you know, struggle and fall down, and you've lost the weight. Okay, how do I maintain it? Okay, if you don't want to continue to lose weight, or what's the strategy? What's the diet after the diet? So that's the third thing. So we've got the priming, we've got the program or the diet, and then the diet after the diet. And that's where, you know, few people, like I think it's like even with an 8% body weight loss, many people will regain it within 2 years. So, but there is evidence showing that when you've got support and you've got strategy and guidance, that you can, the weight maintenance is quite achievable. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to think, well, what are your goals, 6 or 12 months? You know, and I think a lot of women want a quick fix approach, you know, 4 weeks.
Yeah. And a lot of women are doing like the keto diet. I mean, we've tried the Atkins, I mean, there's South Beach. I mean, any number of diets we could list, yes. Right? I think I have all the books behind me, intermittent fasting.
Yes. And I think this is, you know, what I'm trying to bring, the scientific evidence, the diet industry BS, and what is actually the evidence around, you know, high protein versus low carb versus intermittent fasting versus keto versus, you know, shake diets.
How do you feel about the keto diet? Because I think that's the most popular diet right now.
Okay, so keto, it's very popular. I think for women, it's not long term. It's not probably the best strategy. Obviously, we have hormonal fluctuations throughout our menstrual cycle. Our energy requirements do change. The thing with keto is it can create, because you're basically driving your body into ketogenesis. So you're depleting all the sugars in your body or carbohydrates to really drive, the production, the burning of fat, which produces ketones. Okay. And this can cause like dizziness, fatigue, brain fog, things like that, because you're actually driving your body to burn a different substrate, okay? The thing is, it can also promote a lot of high fat eating, obviously, because I think it's about 70 to 80% of your diet is fat. I think you can have like a small amount of carbohydrates, like 10 to 20%, which is maybe equivalent to a banana. And then you've got your protein in there. Okay, so what we know with fat, particularly saturated fat, is it increases the risk of heart disease, okay? And poor food choices, foods high in saturated fat, such as creams, butter, you know, that which are quite inflammatory. Yeah, I think there's not a lot of, in terms of weight loss, the evidence that it's better than other diets, it's just not there, scientific evidence, especially the long-term consequences. The scientific evidence isn't there. Keto was originally used. It's basically just a clever marketing ploy or strategy, was used originally for people with diabetes to help regulate their blood sugars. So by reducing carbohydrates, you're not getting the fluctuations or the spikes in blood glucose and insulin, because obviously when you're diabetic, you're not producing enough insulin to regulate your blood sugar levels. So, I think long-term maintenance, especially for women, and it can be quite dangerous as well when you, I think, long-term. So... yeah, that's a wrap up on keto, and even like your high protein and low carbs.
No, we're not for it. Yes.
No, and I think the main thing is to find something that's flexible and sustainable for you. Like everyone is different, and that's where the personalization comes into it. Okay, so doing like a one blanket sort of approach, and like even I'm going to talk about intermittent fasting approach and as well as your high protein, low carb. I think this is scientific evidence around high protein, low carb. Obviously, this has come from the Atkins diets in the 70s, where carbs are bad, carbs make you fat, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's not the case, okay? I think there was studies, like maybe a 1 kilogram difference between a high protein and a low carb diet. And then long term, obviously, we need carbs, because sometimes when we're restricting carbs in our diet, we're reducing our fiber intake, which consequently leads to poor gut health, gas, bloating, constipation. And I know like in Australia, 80% of adults don't consume the recommended daily intake for fiber. So
I don't think we get enough fruits and vegetables as it is.
Absolutely so, not. Yeah. Yeah.
How do you recommend that we do eat? Like, what is, I'm on the diet plan right now, or the meal plan. I don't want to call it a diet. It really is just a lifestyle change, right?
And
just eating a lot more vegetables, I've noticed, and clean greens. Is that like the program all the way across the board? Because I know I'm kind of plant-based. So what are your recommendations as an expert?
Yeah, so recommendations for me, and this is where I think the Nourish Foxy Mama program is different from other programs, because it encompasses, yes, it's a holistic approach, is quite personalized. It is predominantly plant-based, but plant-based doesn't necessarily mean you're cutting out dairy or meats and stuff, if that's something that you like in your diet, because obviously when we go completely plant-based, like vegan, vegetarianism, we risk vitamin B12 deficiency, which is really important for like red blood cell production and energy, our nervous systems. Okay, so I recommend a variety of foods. A big focus, particularly for women's health, is your green leafy vegetables. Is very good for not only supporting gut health, but the fiber to bind and pull excess estrogen out of your system, which helps stabilize your mood and hormones. Okay,
so fiber has leafy greens.
Leafy greens. So your
greens, kale. Yeah.
Kale, spinach, anything like green leafy. There's a whole, like I have cheat sheets that I make for my clients that list all, your foods high in prebiotic fiber. You know, even like leek and garlic and onions, they're all very high in prebiotic fiber. Cacao is one that's, has high prebiotic properties. So basically your prebiotic fibers
because of my cacao habit.
If we predominantly focus on getting, I say a variety of foods, they say that the more variety They've done clinical studies, like 30 different types of vegetables a week that actually have lower risk of disease and greater diversity of microbes in the gut. So microbes, I mean probiotic bacteria, which are beneficial microbes in the gut. So we know that's really potent now for regulating mood, metabolism, appetite, immunity, inflammation, a number of other links to disease, having poor gut health. So yeah, so definitely lots of green leafy vegetables, you know, Mediterranean diets are really good fats, lean proteins like oily fishes like salmon, seeds, nuts like flax seeds, hemp seeds are really good.
Interesting. Most of the recommendations I received always tell me not to eat nuts because they're so high in calories and, and fats. But you recommend that?
Yeah, like in moderation, like eat like a quarter of a cup. I don't know what the conversion in the US is. It's only like 200 calories of almonds, for example. But they actually have done some studies where they're measuring the energy density of nuts, and it's not sometimes as high as what's reported. So I think, you know, I need to look into this a bit further. But I think obviously don't eat like a kilo of nuts a day because, yeah, they are very energy dense. But I do think they have a beneficial role, you know, putting them in granolas and, you know, as a snack as well. Like they're definitely in my program as extra foods that people can, women can use to support their diet and weight loss efforts. So this is what I'm sort of getting at. You can have, you know, chocolate is in the thing, you know, yogurt and berries, cheese and biscuits, you know, wine, cocktails, you know, you should be able to have these foods, cake, you know, donuts, whatever you want.
Oh my gosh, you probably just made somebody's dream whole day. She's like, Dr. Haley said I could eat cake and wine and I don't have to give up my
absolutely. And you know, burritos, we have like a plant-based burrito, we've got pasta is in there, you know, bread and you know, toast and avocado, eggs, you know, it's like that there are minimum requirements. The meal plans are designed so you are hitting your protein and fiber intake for the day, and then you're having the flexibility to add all these other things. So it's a complete rewiring. Like my clients say, like after 1 week I've basically demystified all their beliefs, and still they my goodness, I'm eating so much food and I'm not gaining weight, because not every stage of the program you'll be losing weight or in restrictions. So, you know, there's multiple components. So, yeah, obviously your veggies, I think most people don't are going for that fast food or energy dense food, which doesn't have a lot of nutrition, and you're not allowing your gut to do, you know, what it's supposed to do. So digest food slowly, and we're bypassing all the benefits that it can provide in terms of our health, energy levels, protection against disease and things like that. So yeah, there's some of the things I definitely.
How do you feel about intermittent fasting? Sorry to jump in there.
No, that's all right. Yeah, that's a very hot topic. I've been involved in studies looking at different strategies to optimize weight loss, and yeah, very familiar with intermittent fasting approach. It was originally Christopher Faraday from the US discovered that they were studying cancer, its effectiveness treating cancer, and they found every time they use this approach the mice lost weight. So there's obviously, it's very popular diet intervention. Many people have had successful you know, benefits in terms of sometimes weight loss, but the metabolic benefits, you know, reduction in your, you know, your bad lipids, reducing inflammation, improving blood sugar control, things like that. So there are lots of metabolic benefits, but then when we're looking at weight loss, so with intermittent fasting, there's many different approaches. You have where you're restricting your calories maybe for 16 hours, so like a 16-8, or you might do like a 5-2 diet, so you're fasting 2 out of the 5 days. There's different strategies. You might skip breakfast in some protocols where you might eat breakfast in other protocols. So this all comes into play and the complexity of it. When we're looking at weight loss, the evidence versus like skipping your breakfast and having that feeding window in the afternoon, where many people do find it easier not to count calories and just be restricted to a certain feeding window, so to speak, so easier to manage what they're eating, but it doesn't lead to greater weight loss compared to other interventions. Okay, there's good evidence around that now. So it's and also the evidence, the long-term benefits, that the evidence is just not there yet. I think for women, because as I'm saying, we have I did a full educational live on this the other week in my private group on Facebook, and because we have different phases of our menstrual cycle and our energy requirements are different, but in particular the luteal phase, which is sort of the second half after we ovulate. This is where our energy requirements are highest. For women, I believe, like having breakfast, like there's evidence around skipping breakfast, having irregular eating patterns lead to greater body mass index or obesity. Okay, so I think, you know, making sure we have breakfast is really important. Especially optimal, you know, that's when our, when we're, you know, our energy is the highest, you know, our hormones. And I guess we talk about hormones, we talk about, you know, fluctuations throughout the day, okay, based on our circadian rhythm.
And, is that when we're so much hungrier, when we're actually on our moon? Like, is it, is that?
Often we should be resting then. So cortisol is a classic hormone that has a, it's called a diurnal pattern, which basically it's peaking in the morning to wake you up, and it declines throughout the day. Okay, so and when it's declining as the night approaches, the other hormone is melatonin, which peaks, and that's what helps us sleep at night. And then you throw in another hormone called serotonin, which you're probably familiar with. 90% of it's produced in the gut, regulates mood. So these are all sort of hormones that are interconnected. The other thing is with when you said like being more hungry at night, I think it depends on what you've eaten throughout the day, okay? So classic pattern for women is we skip breakfast, we don't have much to eat, we might have a couple of coffees in the day, then we're eating more at night because we're so starving, or we have that energy slump in the afternoon, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's probably because of the types of food we're eating and our eating patterns, okay? Classically, the way we've evolved over the last few decades is that we're grazing basically all day, okay? We're snacking more than our eating window is more than 12 hours. And particularly that nighttime, when, so we're not allowing, number one, our digestive system to have rest between our meals to do what it's supposed to do. And then when we should be resting and recovering, we're snacking, you know, what, junk ice cream, chocolate, you know, soft drink, watching, you know, eating in front of the TV. Yeah, pizza, these things. Yeah, at nighttime. So when our, you know, so it has to shunt off from being, you know, restoring to digesting. So that's affecting hormone levels, which are on this circadian rhythm or 24-hour cycle. So, yeah, I really think it has to do with your eating patterns, because if you're eating, consuming most in the morning, and there are studies showing like big breakfast, small dinner has better weight loss and health outcomes. So, you know, I really think that is a classic sign that you're probably not eating enough during the day, than why you have these cravings and stuff at night.
Good. Oh my gosh, you just shared so so much wisdom with us. Thank you so much. And just to do a quick recap, because I know you just shared so much great information, what were the top three tips that you shared with us?
Yeah, so the top three tips would be to nourish yourself from the inside out. So not be depleting yourself of good nutrition, you know, allowing time for self-care as well. So this is, you know, time to reflect on your day, time to cut through the busyness. So it's all, the first one would be about nourishment through nutrition and self-care. The second one would be to have a plan or a strategy that's flexible and sustainable, okay, because we really set ourselves up for failure when we become so restrictive. And this includes doing a program or a diet or that doesn't align with the rest of your family, you know, being excluded at mealtimes, not restricting yourself.
That can be really hard. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And we see that in bariatric patients, a lot of relationship breakdowns when, you know, the relationship is bound through social events and eating out. And then when you're restricted and you can't no longer have that, it manifests a lot of issues there, as well as supporting relationships or preparing multiple meals. I did have one of my clients, she was doing a lot of shake diets up and down for 2 years. She'd lose the weight, she'd regain it, and then she'd do so well throughout the whole day, and then it gets to nighttime and she'd cook for her partner because he was having the same as her. She'd eat hers and then she'd end up eating what she cooked for him as well. So, and this is, you know, and then you think, oh, the fuck it approach, sort of, oh well, I've done so well, and you have your wine, you have a bit of chocolate, it's not gonna, you know, blow things out, but it does. And that's why, you know, you struggle to lose that weight and then you end up gaining more because you're so depleted and restricted. So yeah, something that's flexible and sustainable, and this comes into developing a lifestyle rhythm, okay, a rhythm that suits your lifestyle basically. And something that's, the third one is strategy, okay? Without strategy, you're going to fall down every time. So really thinking about what the core things you're wanting to achieve, what that would mean to you, and get it in your mind that it's not, you know, it's not a quick fix. It's not an 8-week or, six-month thing. It's a lifestyle, total body love lifestyle transformation, okay? So having enough tools with the strategy that this is a commitment you want to make, you know, for your life, for your family, moving forward 12 months, 2 years, 5 years down the track, that you're not only dropping the weight, but you're improving your health, you're reducing your risk of disease, you know, even fertility, if you're wanting to conceive, looking after your reproductive health, you know, these things are all compacted, you know, pre-diabetes, diabetes. There's so many diseases now associated with carrying excess weight. And only 5% body weight loss is required to significantly improve or reduce the risk of disease. It's known as a clinically significant.
I feel like most women are just really concerned about putting on those, dusting off that pair of jeans that they put in the closet. Like being able to put those sexy clothes back on and feeling like she feels confident and gorgeous in her body again.
Absolutely.
And being able to move in the world with through the world with a little bit more ease, right?
Yeah.
Things feel a lot more, you literally feel lighter and more fun, right? When you're
absolutely. And I see these like women just being able to like wave to my kids and my arms not, you know, the flaps not flapping in the wind, or you know, doing that top button when you go out for dinner, or covering yourself up with a towel when you get out of the shower in front of your partner. Like these are some of the things, like when you get to the core, and it's like, I just want to look sexy as fuck on the beach in that bikini. Like,
I just want to like go on vacation. I want to be able to walk around my house naked and be like, yeah, I love my body. So
these are some of, you know, obviously the things that come with, they're the top tips, but how good would it be to feel, just be able to make food choices effortlessly, not feel anxious or nervous about what you're putting in your mouth, and be able to know how your body responds so you can manage, you know, your weight, and, you know, become really, have the tools, feel confident about that you're not a failure, about why, you know, you struggle to lose weight and keep it off, that there's so many things going on, and it's really, yeah, finding that rhythm that's, you know, going to suit your lifestyle and not do things like diet pills and, you know, starving yourself.
Because... Yes, no more diet pills. I think I went through the diet. I think we've all been through the diet pill phase. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
There's no more diets. I'm ready for no more diets. For me, it's exactly what you said. It's the lifestyle change. It's like I've committed to a sugar-free life. I've committed to gluten-free. So now it's like not eating gluten-free pizza, right? Because it's the go-to. It's finding actually healthy meals to prepare, which is one of the things I loved about your program is that the diet, the meal plan, and I keep saying diet, but what I mean is the meal plan is very easy recipes to make and very delicious. I really love that too. Because it, one of the things that always shied me away from cooking for myself is I'm like, it's going to take a long time because you know, we need something that's quick and easy that is manageable when you're taking care of a family and running your business.
Yes. And that's what by the end of the program, you'll be getting, you know, these bank of meal plans that are, you know, being a busy mom and the way, you know, we live today with not having much support, we need something that's quick. So they are designed that they're nutritious, they're quick, they're flexible, and you have the opportunity to add extra stuff to them. And obviously they don't cost a lot of money to buy the ingredients. There's few ingredients and they're quick and easy to prepare. And you can, you know, stock up your freezer and stuff with them as well. So you're less likely to go for those unhealthy options. So, and it's all done, you know, the meal prep, we're going to meal prep and how to, you know, read food labels, and there's so much into the program. So, you know, it's a full rewiring education as well as getting to the core of like I guess I can share with you a bit on when we start really getting to the core. For example, like mapping out someone's weight loss and regain, like sometimes it can be associated with traumatic events or relationship breakdowns or things like this. So we look at all that, because if you're not dealing with those sort of core components and looking at the relationships between these things that are impacting on your lifestyle, that's it's going to be hard to manage long term what you're desiring in terms of feeling more confident, sexy, empowered with your health.
Oh, 100%. I know as an integrated breakthrough coach, that's a primary thing that I work with my clients is just mindset, right? Because everything comes down to how we're thinking about our body and understanding kind of why we think the way that we think, and then finding that root cause, which is what you're kind of alluding to. It's like, why are you holding the extra weight? Because there's always a reason.
Yeah, like whether it be protective, whether it be, you know, there's so many, and every woman is different. And that's why as well, like not to compare yourself to how well or not someone else has done, because you know I think that's really the way we're wired to compare it to other people. When you see it with bariatric patients, you see it with dietary weight loss, you know, obviously social media and what we see on the internet can blur our vision a little bit, becoming fixated with self-esteem swipes, and it's just not healthy for us. So you're on your own journey, you're on your own path, you need to tap into your own power to you know, really what you truly want and what you're prepared to do to make it happen, that commitment.
I love that. We must decide. It all comes with that decision. Decide to go all in. I love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing your for your expertise today and all the tips. Where is the best, or how, what's the best way to reach you if our listeners are interested in getting in touch?
Yeah, so you can either via my private Facebook group or on Messenger. So I can give you those details, but I also have a booking calendar. I offer a 30-minute free consult mapping session where I'll go through my signature metabolic and nutritional mapping process to get to the core why some of the diets that you've done previously have failed, and with that how to start shifting you from struggling to empowered and confident with your health and wellness. So yeah, three options there. So within my private group, yeah, there's lots of freebies. I get on doing lots of educational lives, lots of really amazing content there. So yeah, lots of options.
Yes, a wealth of options. And thanks again for spending some time with us today.
So, yeah, thank you.
And thank you to the listener. Thank you so much. If you've been listening this whole time, we super appreciate you. And if you have questions, feel free to reach out to myself or Dr. Haley directly, because we would love to hear from you. We are here to serve and answer your questions and to keep providing great content so you can continue to learn on your journey. And until next time, we'll say goodbye and live in gratitude, ladies.
Thank you.
Bye.